Well, good morning, all of you. It's a joy for me to be with you today.
Good morning.
Thank you. Pastor Steve is gone, and Pastor James is gone with 19 of our youth plus some sponsors as well. So I was talking to both of them this week, and I said, well, it looks like our dear congregation is stuck with the third string. And Pastor Steve said, oh, don't say that. And James said, didn't you learn in the preaching class that you should never put yourself down before you preach? I don't want to hear that, and I'm going to check when I get back, listen to the recording, and if you said something like that, you're in real trouble with me. Okay, so Pastor James, if you're watching, first string. Okay, enough of that. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, we're making our way through the book of Philippians, a very famous book that centers around the whole theme that we're going to talk about this morning, and that is joy, indestructible joy. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In honor of God's word, would you stand with me, please? Wow, we get to read God's word.
Amen.
Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it's a safeguard to you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious, gracious Lord Jesus, you who gave your life on Calvary for us. You who want the best for us. You who look upon us with deep desire that we might be followers of you, ensure obedience. Please send your Spirit, the teacher, to anoint your messenger and your people, that we might hear from you, that we who are empty might go full, we who are struggling might go forth with clarity of direction, we who need comfort might feel your arms wrapped around us. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. You may be seated. In conclusion, hold on, don't head out the door. I'm just repeating what dear Apostle Paul starts out with. He and I have a few things to say, however, before we go out the door. The Apostle Paul, like a lot of us pastors, seems like he's coming in for a landing when all of a sudden he gets renewed energy and he's right back up again and talking again about one of his favorite themes. And that's what he's doing here in this particular section that we're looking at. Because he says, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing again to you. And the Apostle Paul spends time talking about this whole idea of rejoicing in the Lord, a call to us, a rejoicing that is sustained. It is something that is invincible, that continues for us. It is indestructible. So he wants to call us to an indestructible kind of joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were to embrace that and experience that in our life, that you and I would have continuous joy that is unaffected, that is indestructible? Warren Wiersbe, in his small little book called Be Joyful, likens us to a thermometer or a thermostat. He says a lot of us operate like thermometers. That is, we're here this morning and some of us are down because our circumstances have not gone well. Some of us are here down because some people have offended us, hurt us, disappointed us, and really made us quite disturbed. Some of us, like thermometers, are down because certain things aren't operating well in our life right now. Certain things that we own. Our refrigerator is on the fritz and we're trying to determine, should we get it fixed or should we get a new one? Do we have enough money to do that? And so we're trying to figure that out. Some of us are doing that while we're here, right here in our gathering today. Some of us are thermometers, Warren Wiersbe says, because of these things in our life that happen to us. But Warren Wiersbe goes on to say, but I call us all to thermostats. Thermostats, as you know, are solid, steady. They are unaffected by that which goes on around them. They are sustained. They have a joy that is indestructible. And the Apostle Paul says the reason that is so is because their rejoicing, their joy, is rooted in the Lord, rooted in Jesus Christ. So this is our secret to having a life that is sustained, a joy that is sustained in our life. Because it is rooted clearly in Jesus. He says, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't just say, rejoice, go around having joy, go around and rejoicing. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord. This is the root. This is the connection. It is indestructible when it is rooted in Jesus Christ. The word rejoice here comes from a particular Greek word that means, is a picture word of the whole idea of lamb or sheep that are frisking around very joyfully. And he says, our hearts should look like that when we are rooted in Jesus and we have a joy that is indestructible. He says also that it's a safeguard. Did you notice that in the text? It says, it is no trouble for me to write these same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. The word here is another picture word. It's that of a, like a fence that is tottering, maybe a fence post that is tottering, that needs to be stabilized, and so we work to get it stabilized, maybe put concrete in the ground or something alongside of it to make it strong. He says, that's what rejoicing in the Lord does for us. That's what gives joy indestructibility when it is operated. It gives you and it gives me stability to face the dark things of life. And of course, dark things do come. I'd like to say to all of us that that's not the case, but you've been around long enough, you know they come. There are bumps in the road. And I don't think this is news to you, but they're still coming. They are still ahead. But the Apostle Paul says, based and directed by the Spirit, to say that you and I can have a joy that's indestructible even when we face the dark times. So, how do we get there? Well, I want to suggest that the Apostle Paul is suggesting to us that it comes through begins with a base of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He talks here, he says, we who are the circumcision. Now, he talks to us about the fact that there are those who are circumcised physically, but he is more interested in talking about those who are circumcised in the heart. In Romans chapter 2:28, I think it is 2:28 and 2:29, he talks about circumcision of the heart. He is calling us to having our hearts retuned, refined, born from above by the Spirit, that we have a relationship with Jesus. He knew all about that because when he was on a journey, the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus. And in that context, he gave his life to him. He repented of his sin. He realized the folly of the trust in do-goodism and the law and all of that, and gave himself fully to Jesus Christ and entered into that relationship with him. So, have you met Jesus? Have you had an experience in your life where you met Jesus in some context, some way? And you realize that you were a sinner. You recognize that Jesus gave himself on the cross, shed his blood once for all of us. And by repenting of our sin and inviting him into our life, we can have a personal relationship with him. It's not a once and done, occasionally see you later kind of thing, but continues on and on. Do you know Jesus Christ in that way? It is the beginning point of learning to rejoice in him. It is the way we learn joy indestructible in our life. It begins there. Paul experienced that in his life. He had tried many, many things before that. He lists his resume here, and it's only brief because he gives a fuller resume in like Acts and Romans. But he talks about circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, which was kind of the classy tribe, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And in regard to the law, he lived blamelessly. But he discovered that simply did not take him where he needed to go. It didn't give him life. It gave him maybe something to brag about on occasion, but it didn't give him life. It was when he met Jesus that he began his journey of life and his passion for him and for the cross. So, you want joy that is indestructible? I do. It begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, being obedient to him. Secondly, it involves cultivating a continuous communion with Jesus Christ as well. It's not saying, well, did that, done that, I can move on in the conversion. But it's cultivating that in our life so that we can have that ongoing relationship with Jesus that way. And we see some particular characteristics of that in the text. He talks about living or ministering or experiencing an engagement with God by the Spirit. It's a life of personal worship. How is your life and my life of personal worship? Is it there? We're talking about things like our private, individual worship life. When we meet with Him in our times of quiet, we may call it devotions, quiet time. Is it a living, exciting interaction with us and Jesus? Or is it something we simply check off? Like many years ago, somebody gave me a brochure. Now I'll date myself. Read the Bible through in 62. Oh, well, that would be fun to do. Read the Bible through. And there was a chart. And so you read it, checked it off. And that's what I did. I'd read the chapters, check it off, check it off, check it. I even took it to church on occasion. See where I am? I'm doing it right. But I discovered that I was only mind reading. I was only reading it with the mind so I could check it off. And sometimes we have to police ourselves that when we're reading the Bible in our individual times, that we're not just reading with the mind, and it's important to read with the mind, but we're also reading with the heart. Are you and I reading with the heart? So that as we read, we're saying, Jesus, what do you have to say to me? What truth is there here for me? What application is there for me that I can follow through with this? Now, I, for one, love music, so I like to have music, too. And I listen to music, and it feeds me and encourages me, and I would encourage you if you, well, some of you use music, too, so it's good. Takes us deeper, something we can interact with our Lord and worship Him, not just some other time, not for an hour on Sunday, but for during the week, too, that we can interact in that kind of relationship. So if we're going to have joy that is indestructible, it involves us cultivating a personal lifestyle of worship. And we can do that even throughout the day. I've been in people's homes where, because they've had quiet times, they write verses on cards and they put them by the sink or somewhere else, and they reflect on that as they go through the day. It's a lifestyle. So that's individual. Corporately, we gather here. We are so thankful that we live in a country where we can gather in Jesus' name and worship and glorify Him. And we are so thankful that we have such a wonderful worship team every Sunday morning who lead us not only in song, but also there's always scripture they give to us. And we are so blessed by a pastor who preaches from God's word week after week, empowered and anointed by the Spirit. And when we gather, we have the opportunity, as we sing those songs, to say, Lord Jesus, what are you saying to me? Where are you? Where are you today, Lord Jesus? What do you have to say to me? Where are you giving me direction? Where is there encouragement? And the scripture as it is read, what is that saying to me? Where are you, Jesus? We're looking for Him. And so as we go through the service, we're constantly having our ears tuned, our eyes looking. We are wondering. We are being obedient. Lord, here I am. Teach me. Instruct me. I know it's a challenge. We all have issues in our lives, so it's sometimes very difficult. We come and we've been in church, but we really haven't been in church. We've been at work figuring things out. We've been with our family trying to do some things. We've been in church, but we haven't been in church. I know. But may God help us to be more direct and more disciplined, that we can be seekers of God. Because when we're seekers of God that way, we can rejoice in the Lord consistently, and we can have joy that's invincible, joy that will not fall apart when we face trouble in the dark times, as Paul demonstrated in his life. The text goes on to say, For we are the circumcision, we who serve God in the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus. So that's another feature. Boast in Christ Jesus. Paul boasts continually in Christ Jesus. Let's see. Romans 5:17, Galatians 6:14. Man, repeatedly, he was boasting in Jesus. He was boasting in the cross. He was boasting in salvation. He was boasting in what Jesus meant to him. Oh, we have a wonderful Jesus, do we not? He is so beautiful. He cares about everything about us. He is perfect in all his ways. He is loving. He is compassionate. He is attentive to every detail of my life and your life. And it gives us wonderful opportunity to boast about him. Boast about him to ourselves, to our family, to each other. Boast to unbelievers. Some of you know that I had an extended stay in the hospital due to COVID. I was pretty sick. God stepped in, touched me. I was released. Since that time, I walk through the neighborhood and neighbors come to me and they say, wow, you look pretty good for what you were through. And I say, hey, I had the best of care. That hospital is very good. Had great medicine they gave me, treatment of all kind. It was just really good. And then I look behind the person and I see Jesus and he's going. And I then quickly say, I had a lot of people praying and God intervened, and he's the one that made the difference. So we boast about him. Paul did. He was glorying in him. He was reveling in him all the time. Because he rejoiced in the Lord, he had a joy that was indestructible. Nothing could mess it up as he went through life and for what he challenged. And then he says, third, I do not depend on the flesh. Our flesh is so weak, so disappointing. It lets us down so many times. It takes us the wrong way. Paul said, if anybody could boast in the flesh, I could have. Here are the things that I could say I had. And he lists them here. We've already gone through them. His resume, his performance, his promotions that he got. But he said that's nothing. It's Jesus that has made the difference in my life. Sometimes I picture this passage and the parallel ones like it in other places of Paul after this wonderful experience with Jesus and him making him the king of his life and getting rid of the law and going from law to liberty, going from duty to delight, walking into his study if he had a study and taking down all the diplomas that he had hanging, the trophies that he had over here, all of that, taking it all out and taking it in a box and taking it out and burning it. But in its place, he put the cross. He put the cross. Because that is what drove him, and that is what he gloried in, Jesus Christ, the cross. I don't want to be too critical of certain people who want to flaunt the fact that, you know, they give so much money to this charity and they do that and the other thing and think that that helps. Because maybe there's a side of us that happens on occasion when we say, well, I was saved. I've been saved for, pick a number, 50 years. I've gone to church regularly. I'm a member of a church. I do good things. I serve in the church. I do all these things. So I can slip a little bit. I have a few areas in my life, but that's okay. You know, not a big deal. But the Apostle Paul lived clearly focused in every way to serve Jesus with all he had. May God help me and you, my brothers and sisters, to live so focused on Christ that he might be our all in all, so that we have a joy that is indestructible. Now, Paul had attacks come. We see that in the text, too. He refers to them as dogs, evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. They were known as Judaizers. They were people who were trying to get Paul to change his message and picking on Paul and going around wherever he was, criticizing him and trying to draw people away from him. In our life, from time to time, we too experience attacks. Sometimes spiritual attack comes our way. Attacks maybe from other situations come our way. And in those times, we must fight for doing what is right and thinking what is right. I think of Psalm 42. That says, the psalmist is preaching to himself. You know, sometimes I have to preach to myself. I hope you preach to yourself too sometimes. The psalmist says, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God. He's preaching to himself. Sometimes you and I need that. We get down. We see the negatives. And we need to do like the psalmist. Why art thou downcast, my soul? Hope thou in God. Come on. Hope thou in God. Don't you see who he is and his wonder and his might and what he has done and what he has in store for you and me ahead? Heaven itself and all the glory that's there. And more than the glory, yeah, Jesus is there. And we see him face to face. In 1756... John Wesley received a letter from a father who had a prodigal son. This son was sentenced to death because of some crimes he committed. But he had heard the message of Jesus Christ, and through a nationwide revival, he fully repented and accepted the Lord into his life. He was transformed. And this father wrote to Wesley and said, do you want to hear the rest of the story? The rest of the story is this. When he made his way to the gallows, he did so singing praises to God. And the people were amazed with wonder at the way in which he died, with his eyes lifted to heaven and calling people to follow Jesus. The first 300 years of Christianity was no picnic. It was difficult. There was persecution everywhere. Martyrdom flowed all over the place. And there was so much death, so much torture going on. But in every case recorded, those people, whether they were burned at the stake, whether they were burned as human torches, whether they were beheaded, whether they were crucified, all of them turned with their faces to heaven and sang, preached, called others to follow God as well. That is joy. That is invincible. That is joy that is indestructible. The Apostle Paul says to you and me, if God be for us, come on, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things? For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the things to come, nor power, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is joy. Invincible. That is joy indestructible. Do you have it? Do you have him? Because when we find joy, it is in Jesus himself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, take us to a rejoicing that is rooted in you, not rooted in circumstances. We do not want to be thermometers. It's no fun, the up and down. We do not want to be rooted in whether things are going okay or not okay, whether people are being nice to us or not nice, or whether the things that we own are disappointing us. We want a consistent joy. And so, Lord, take us to a joy that is rooted in you. I pray for any who are here this morning who have yet to experience the point in their life where they've met you face to face and they have repented of their sins and they have been born by the Spirit from above. I pray that you would bring them to that point of confession, repentance, and new life in you. A new start. I pray, Lord, for those of us who have a personal relationship with you, but somehow we have strayed in this whole area, and we have allowed ourselves to look more like thermometers than thermostats. And as a result, we are up and down because we're not tied to you through consistent ongoing personal worship, through glorifying you regularly and repeatedly. And we've relied on our flesh. Look what we've done. Look how we've served. Look how we're serving now. Lord, make us desperate for that relationship with you, that we might live lives with whole joy that is indestructible. For your glory, in Christ's name, amen. God bless you. As we say from time to time, if any of you have any need, prayer need based on maybe what we've said this morning or in some other context of your life, we're here to pray with you. You simply, after the service, make your way, and we're happy to pray with you. So God bless you. Walk in the joy of the Lord, because it is invincible, it is sustaining, it glorifies God. God bless you.